This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Absolutely amazing that a point guard in this league would not take a shot in a fourth quarter for four consecutive playoff games, but that's what happened with Ben Simmons and the Philadelphia 76ers. It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Chris Carlin in for Allen, along with Bart Scott, presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. And all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline, and that is where we are headed right now to welcome in ESPN Insider on the NBA. That is Brian Windhorst.
Insider is like selling him short. Yeah. He's like, he's so inside, he's a black hole. That's how deep Wendy is, if you didn't know.
Wendy, good luck making sense of that one. That's one that I don't know, but it clearly was meant as a compliment across the board for you. But, Brian, can you remotely make sense of this Ben Simmons situation in Philadelphia?
Well, I've never seen a moment like we saw in that spot there where he passed up an open dunk. And it's not just about that individual play. That it would have been 2 points when they're down two with 3 minutes to go. I mean, the Sixers needed 2 points there no matter how they got them. But what it represents and what it, you know, represents for where his faith from his teammates are. And, you know, watching Doc Rivers discuss Ben Simmons throughout the playoffs has been like a stages of loss. You know, early in the series against the Wizards were totally outmatched. And so they started fouling Ben Simmons in the first half, doing the hack to Ben in the first half. And Doc Rivers was asked, hey, listen, if that's going to happen, are you going to take him off the floor? And Doc, who's really supported Ben publicly all year long with calling for him to win Defensive Player of the Year, praising his ability, chiding Philadelphia fans who would criticize him. I mean, he's open press conferences, basically hitting back at talk show narratives out of Philadelphia. And he said, anybody who thinks that I should pull Ben Simmons out of the game doesn't know basketball. The next round, Doc Rivers is pulling Ben Simmons out of the game in the fourth quarter.
They assume we don't have
and
film.
That's sad.
And the crazy thing is, right, it's like a receiver for us who has the yips. He has no confidence. He threw that ball, you know, when he had a wide open dunk because he was afraid that Trae Young, who was run over late, was going to foul him when that should have been – he in his mindset, it should have been an and one. But at this point, where does Philadelphia go? And you can hear the sentiment changing with Doc because I believe now that it's affecting him because now he's a coach as Tyronn Lue was able to make the necessary adjustments and get the Clippers to the next level and to the next round. And now, once again, Doc Rivers has come up short.
Well, let me tell you two things here. First off, this summer, Joel Embiid is eligible for a contract extension, 5 years, $220 million supermax, which I do expect him to sign, although there could be some negotiation just because of his injury history. But when you approach a star player like that to have discussions about that type of contract, obviously you're going to listen to what that star player feels about your roster. And in Houston, when Daryl Morey signed James Harden to the Supermax, when he was running the Rockets, James Harden got input on where the roster was going. And so Joel Embiid took some veiled shots at Simmons last night, and granted that's in the heat of the moment, but where Joel speaks is going to be important to this. The second thing is Ben Simmons, I don't know how many people realize this, Ben Simmons has something that could drastically alter his outlook in the next few months, and that is that, as far as I know, he is scheduled to play for Team Australia in the Olympics in Tokyo. The Australians have a loaded team. They've never medaled, and there's huge expectations for this roster. I won't get into more details there. But when he's going to play with Team Australia, if he does do that, and if I could give him some advice, I would tell him if he's not injured, he should do that. The Australians have a very loaded backcourt. Patty Mills is their point guard, and when Patty Mills plays for the Australians, he reminds me of Steve Nash. He's like special when it comes to his national team. So Ben Simmons is not going to play point guard. He plays for the Australian national team, and I think that could be an amazing opportunity for him to rediscover and show what else he can do besides being a point guard. To play big in a high-stakes international tournament on the world stage could change his outlook and the way the Philly and other teams would see him.
Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA Insider, with us. What role could that be? Is it as a point forward type? How do you see that playing out if he is willing to adapt to a new role?
Right. Well, there are some people in the league who I've talked to over the years who think that Ben Simmons is really a center, that he's a center in the modern NBA. You look at, you know, the way the Clippers played the Jazz and one of the best centers in the league and Rudy Gobert off the floor. You could never play Ben Simmons off the floor because he is, at least defensively, because he is truly the epitome of the guy who can guard point guard through center. He could guard everybody in the league from Trae Young to Nikola Jokic. And there's just almost nobody who can do that. And that is a real, real value in the modern NBA. In today's game, the best teams, and if you look at who's left, look at their rosters and you can see it, are the teams that are versatile, that can play multiple different ways. And so Ben Simmons' value in the modern NBA is very, very high. But he needs to regain his confidence to remember that value. Whether or not that can happen in Philly, whether or not Doc Rivers can be the coach that can do that, a great place to start, if you ask me, would be with the Australian national team. If I won't go into details to bore you guys about the history of Australian basketball, but they've had some incredibly bad breaks in the last few international competitions. And if Ben Simmons went and participated, then they could, you know, get a medal. It would completely change, I feel like, his outlook on things. And so I would just say that this is not the 2021 is not over for Ben Simmons. And he can pivot and maybe show some things and rebuild his confidence. And that could either open an opportunity in Philly or open an opportunity for a team who sees how he might play off the ball and say, hey, we can build our team around this guy. Let's call the Sixers. And so I really do hope he plays because I think it would open a lot of doors that otherwise might remain closed for a while.
Well, Wendy, you know, as a former athlete, that's really important. And when you think about those decisions and making those decisions, it's about your team around you and being, you know, brutally honest and not telling you what you need, what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. So we'll see how good his team is around him and being able to, you know, tell him what the reality is and what the perception is, because perception is reality. And you know me, Wendy, I always love to like make like little deals and everybody look at me crazy because I'm like the football guy. But if you think that maybe it's a possibility that one of the places that he would fit to maybe play that point forward or center, you know, maybe a place like Sacramento, and maybe they can deal for De'Aaron Fox and maybe take some bad money with Harrison Barnes, or am I just kind of crazy as usual?
Well, the thing about Philadelphia is they kind of stopped short of going all in on this roster. And, you know, if Daryl Morey came on and joined this call right now, he might be able to dispute this and say that's just not true. But, you know, people talk about the possible James Harden trade. I'm not sure whether Houston was ever going to trade James Harden to Philly because of the Daryl Morey aspect of it. Only Tillman Fertitta, the owner of the Rockets, I really think would know whether he would have done that or whether Philly was just ultimately a stalking horse to get better offers. The trade that they didn't make that I think is fair to question them on is Kyle Lowry. And ultimately the Raptors didn't trade Kyle Lowry, but the Sixers didn't go all out in their offer there because I think they were worried about paying him after this year. They were worried about, man, if this is going to cost us our young guard, Tyrese Maxey, who looked very good in these playoffs, Matisse Thybulle, who's an all defensive type player. It was going to cost them players like that. You know, they just weren't interested in it. And I think that that was a mistake, because if Kyle Lowry was on this roster and healthy, guys, the Eastern Conference Finals would be starting in Philly on Wednesday night. In fact, they may have already started because the series would have been over before 7, because the steadying nature and the veteran ability of Kyle Lowry would have made a huge difference. And look, this is the history of team building. Do you sacrifice your young pieces for now, or do you hold on and develop them? What if Maxey turns out to be a Kyle Lowry who's budding, who could be a Kyle Lowry for them for the next 7 to 10 years? I mean, maybe it was smart that they didn't do it, but not executing that trade and going out and going all out to get Lowry, in my view, cost them ultimately a chance at a championship in 2021.
Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider, joining Barton Hahn via the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin in for Allen today, along with Bart Scott. Brian, let's shift to the West for a moment and the injury situation slash COVID situation. Latest on Kawhi Leonard, latest on Chris Paul and their availability.
Well, Chris Paul, guys, during the season, almost every player, most players who tested positive for COVID, unfortunately, missed, usually the 10 to 14 days. I know that there is a window that if you had two negative tests in a row that you could have come back before then, but that just didn't happen. And, you know, I have been told that Chris has been vaccinated. He has not said, so I don't want to verify it until it comes from his lips. But, and I don't know, I'm not a doctor. I don't know how that might affect it. But the reality is when you tested positive for COVID, even if you were fortunately symptom free or mostly symptom free, you were looking at 2 weeks, give or take. And so Chris Paul tested positive, I believe, last Monday. And so we're now 1 week in. And if he goes another, 5 to 7 days, you're looking at missing another 2 to 3 games. And that is a very difficult reality. It's a disappointing situation. The one thing I would say is that the Suns got lucky in that the Western Conference Finals are on ABC and ESPN. And that is that, ABC has games on Sunday afternoons. And so that was when the Western Conference Finals were going to start. And the Clippers had a very challenging turnaround coming out of Utah, 36 hours to turn it around. And I think that had a factor in yesterday's game, if not just fatigue, and the Clippers' opportunity to really install a game plan. They weren't ready for the pick and roll game that the Suns put on them. And so getting that victory yesterday, every win they can squeeze out without Chris Paul, if indeed he's looking at missing 3 or 4 games in this series, maybe he'll test positive today and tomorrow and he can play in game 3. I don't know. But that's huge for them.
What about Kawhi? Where do we stand with him?
Well, the Clippers have said privately that they are optimistic that Kawhi will be able to come back in the playoffs. But attempts for me to figure out when do they mean? Do they mean in game 7 of the finals? It's a knee sprain. And they have elected not to make public whether it's a grade 1 knee sprain, which could be 1 to 2 weeks, or it's a grade 2 knee sprain, which could be, a month or more. So we don't know. It is an ACL from what I've told. And the word sprain, by medical definition, means that there's a torn ligament. So he is dealing with a partially or minorly or moderately torn ACL. So that is a big reality to deal with. And coming back, there's all kinds of evidence of players coming back from knee sprains and being okay, and other evidence that it just takes longer. So probably only Kawhi knows, and they're not making it public, and I understand why.
Boogie looked pretty good yesterday, but any updates on Serge Ibaka availability, being able to come back and give them some depth?
Serge Ibaka had surgery on his back, and he is out, may not even be able to start next season. That's a blow for the Clippers, especially because in this series, Serge Ibaka would have been so, so valuable. That signing just ended up not paying fruit for them this year, but you look at some of the other things they did, including the fact that they're paying Reggie Jackson a minimum, and they've got a second-round pick in Terrence Mann that's doing this kind of stuff. On balance, I think the Clippers have turned out okay with their bench players.
Last one for me, Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider with us on the Goodyear Hotline. What is your expectation regarding Dame Lillard in Portland?
I think he's committed to there. From what I am told, he is been very involved, or at least maybe not very involved, but involved in the coaching search. He is I know that he made headlines because he came out and said he wanted Jason Kidd or else, but he's backed down from that and has been actively involved. He has been discussing, from what I have been told, strategy and stuff with possible candidates. He committed to playing for Team USA in Tokyo, which means that his focus this offseason is going to be on basketball, not on demanding a trade or whatever. And I think he's committed. Would I feel super duper comfortable if I was the Blazers? No, I would not. I would feel a lot of pressure to make a great coaching hire and to improve the roster and to become a lot better. But I don't anticipate Dame Lillard going anywhere in the short term.
Awesome stuff, Wendy. We appreciate it. Enjoy the conference finals as we get going.
Take care, guys. Have a good week.
Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA Insider, giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Let us get back to the very, very busy phones right now at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Jason's in Texas. He's next on Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Hey, Jason.
Hey, how you guys doing? I just wanted your thoughts. I kind of think that the James Harden trade might have cost the Nets in the long run. I mean, considering what they gave up to get him and his limited ability in the playoffs, availability in the playoffs, I think that might have hindered them and stopped them from getting to where they wanted to go. Have a great show, guys.
I don't know about that. I mean, James Harden was as advertised. He made this team much better. And whenever a guy like Kyrie says, hey, man, you're the point guard, that's letting you know that, hey, man, he has the confidence of everybody there. If this team was healthier, even if it was just 2 out of 3 was healthy, you know, they're the favorite for the championship. Just 2 out of 3.
If Harden was healthy, they're winning this series without even a doubt.
It's not even close.
Now, the one thing I would say is, okay, hindsight is 2020, but knowing what we know, would they have rather had Harden or would they have rather had Caris LeVert and Jared Allen in the spot?
No, I think they'd much rather still have James Harden and then say, hey, well, maybe we could have had Dinwiddie for the last year, right? Remember, Dinwiddie was out. That was a huge blow because that was a guy that was a starter who was a budding all-star. He could have came off the bench and gave them something that Joe Harris wasn't able to give him. That's points.
Matt is up next in Michigan. Matt, what's up, buddy? You're on Bart and Hahn.
Before I criticize Kevin Durant's game, I would just like to say that he's probably the greatest competitor in the NBA today. However, he did have an opportunity. He scored 48, 49 points, did everything he could to get his team in the win column into the finals, the Eastern Conference Finals. He did not do that. If this was LeBron, and LeBron was whatever age KD is, would you guys or most of the media not be manhandling him right now?
No, not
I mean,
at all. No, I don't think so. I mean, we watched LeBron try and carry the Cavs, and he couldn't do it. I mean, Kevin Durant did everything he could. He played every minute of the last two games. I mean, what else could you ask for him? He put up a game that we have never seen before, and then he almost came 1 millimeter from being able to win it on a last-second turnaround three-pointer that turned out to be a two-pointer.
It is an interesting question. If it was LeBron, would he have won this series?
No. LeBron doesn't have the shooting. Like, I can see LeBron putting up 49.
I don't think so either, it's an interesting question.
He put up a stat line that we had never seen before. 48, 15, and 10.
I agree. I don't think so either, but
he put up 49.
I know.
But have we ever seen LeBron play every minute of the last two games?
I'm sure that we have if we go back and look.
Not two games in a row.
I'm sure
in
that
the playoffs.
We have.
No.
I mean, 40, listen.
Every minute?
I'd have to go back and look.
LeBron was cramping up trying to get Gatorade.
It's an interesting question. You at least have to give him that. Ike's on Long Island. Ike, you're next.
The Ike Juice?
No, it's not Ike Reese, I don't think. Oh. Ike, what's up?
Yo, boys. How we doing?
Good.
Maintaining.
I have a hot take.
Yes.
Hot take real quick. I think you got to get Ben Simmons in the gym with Lethal Shooter. Or see Brickley and get him to New York. What do you guys think?
Well, look, I would not bring Ben Simmons anywhere near New York.
We need as much outside shooting as possible with Julius Randle. We need three-point shooters. We need shooters and spacers.
Let me tell you, I told you about how patient Philly can be.
Yeah, they would have no – listen.
By 10 games in, they'd be done with this guy.
With 5 points?
In New York. They
coming
would
up
absolutely
small?
Be done
nah,
with this
nah,
guy.
Nah, yeah.
Absolutely not. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin for Alan Hahn, along with Bart Scott. You know, moments ago, I do want to fix something. The Bucks did win their championship in 71 with Kareem and the Big O.
The Big O and Lou Alcindor.
And the Hawks, well before they were in Atlanta, have won their championship in 1958.
Was that when James Brown was on their team?
I don't know.
Big James Brown got cut from the team, but it's all good.
888-SAY-ESPN. Up next, Bart, one of the all-time NBA greats who knows a thing or two about the point guard position. He's had enough with Ben Simmons. You'll hear from him in moments. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
It's not often you get the one of the greatest of all time in the building, and he was this morning here at South Street Seaport. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn, along with Bart Scott. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Let us hear some audio files. Hit it. Bart, Magic Johnson this morning with KJZ in the building.
I call him Irvin.
You call him Irvin? Why? Because you I mean, he's a Michigan guy?
Yeah, of course. I just saw him on the way out.
Okay.
Got to be more like Showtime.
Well, guess what? He's not terribly fond of what he saw from Ben Simmons yesterday.
He needs a new start, a fresh start. So it's time to trade him. And it'll be good for the Sixers as well as good for Ben and his confidence. He needs to get with a veteran so that they can, you know, probably bring that confidence back and make him understand that if you're aggressive, it makes the team better. Then you got to work on your shot.
Listen, I don't know where that team is. That's the problem. Like, if you're a team around the league right now, we have discussed what you brought up earlier, what Wendy kind of expanded on, the idea of him changing positions and playing in the front court. But, Bart, what team right now wants this kind of a player? Yes, he can defend everybody, but he can't be relied upon to be able to do enough offensively if they don't let him go to the 10.
Well, to Wendy's point, like maybe considering being a point center. Right, we see Jokic do that, right, and Ben 6'10", you know, kind of out of the mold of Al Horford, out of the mold of Tim Duncan. Remember, Tim Duncan was only like 6'10", 6'11". Ben Wallace was 6'9". So, I mean, he can consider that. Listen, I'm sticking to my guns. I think that sending him to Sacramento makes sense for all parties, and especially if Philadelphia takes back Harrison Barnes' contract, you can take De'Aaron Fox and you can take Harrison Barnes, and I'll send you Ben Simmons and a number one draft pick in the future. And now that gives them, you know, De'Aaron Fox, who's a point guard. I know we want to get Kyle Lowry, but that gives you – that basically exchanges the money. That basically flips the money, and you get a veteran of Harrison Barnes to come off the bench who's still only 29 years old. I should be a GM, man. I understand. You know what I mean? James Jones just got employee of the month. He's got executive of the month. But hell, put me in there, man.
All I can tell you is if you send Ben Simmons to Sacramento, you'll never hear from him again.
Exactly.
Up next is Simmons himself. And this is the quote after the game that really has most fans riled up.
Yeah, I mean, I love being in Philly. You know, I love this organization. The fans are great, great people. I mean, I had a bad series. I expect that. It's Philly. We lost. It sucks. I am who I am. It is what it is. You know, it's not easy to win, and it shows. You know, Nets got finished by Buck. Not easy to win. I mean, you got mentally tough. You can't take games for granted. I didn't shoot well from the line this series. Offensively, I wasn't there. I ain't doing enough for my teammates. But there's a lot of things I need to work on.
No, it wasn't that you didn't do enough for your teammates. You didn't do enough for yourself in shooting the basketball. And look, when you have, and Hembo had this stat this morning, 34 career playoff games, Ben Simmons has taken 5 shots outside of 10 feet. You just can't be an NBA player of his caliber and have that be the case. And then when you say it is what it is, I am who I am. What are you, Popeye? I mean, come on.
I am who I am.
Yeah, Popeye was knocking guys out left and right. By the way, did you catch Shaq? Shaq said he would knock his blank out after the TNT.
Yeah. Oh, I did. Joel definitely.
After he heard those comments,
what's the 5 finger say to the face? Smack. And Ben Simmons, to Wendy's point, is going to have a huge role in, you know, this roster moving forward. If he's the supermax, we know that he is the most dominant big man, maybe the most skilled big man that this game has ever seen. And I think if he had, I think he's upset. He understands he can't be asked to do so much himself. Him and Tobias Harris. And Tobias Harris was brought in to be.
He did
Chris,
a good job.
Yeah, but he was brought in to be Chris Bosh.
Yeah.
Somebody has to be Batman if Tobias Harris is going to be Alfred.
Should they have kept Jimmy Butler, tried to have kept him over Tobias Harris?
No, they should have kept him instead of Ben Simmons. Well, they need some dog.
Yeah. No, they do. They do.
Because even Joel, like, is still kind of. The sun is shining. The sun will come out tomorrow. God, they need a
Joel. Exactly. Joel is a guy that will adapt. He wants to win, but he will adapt within a day or two. You need some guys who that's going to stick with for a while.
Yeah, it's going to hurt. Yeah, it's coming in. All right, today, Jimmy Butler's coming in. Today, it's me against everybody.
How about Devin Booker in game one?
No blood, no foul.
Devin Booker in game one of the conference finals. No Chris Paul.
Right.
First career triple-double in game one.
I mean, it's very special, but, you know, the win feels better. You know, that's what I'm out there for the whole entire time. So, you know, part of the triple-double is the assist, and that's, you know, my teammates making them pay for, you know, running and doubling and, you know, seeing different types of defenses. The rebounds come from DA boxing out, you know, when he has a Zubac or Boogie and me coming in and getting the rebound. So, you know, it takes a whole collective team group to get what we got done tonight.
You know when you have your superstar on your hands is when they are in complete control of the game. And Doris Burke made that comment yesterday on the ESPN radio broadcast, and it was 100% accurate. Yeah. He had 100% control of that game in every facet, and it was incredibly impressive to watch.
And you think about Monty Williams, right? They've seen an entire series of Utah, of them running and sprinting at Donovan Mitchell trying to get the ball out of his hands because no one person can block him. And all they did is have an answer for it, and they were picking and rolling to the basket. And every time they tried to blitz Devin Booker, he made the right play. That's why you get a triple-double. And it wasn't just him. It was everybody. The spacing was beautiful. The ball movement was beautiful. And listen, both sides came up big and played well, but I think one team was able to scout the other and have more answers. And I think I look forward to Ty Lue saying, hey, all we got to do is get one. We get one, and we can figure it out, and maybe we get Kawhi later. But we get one, we done what we're supposed to do, and win one on the road.
Bart, Suns are winning the championship.
It looks like it. Suns it looks are like they're the most complete. It looks like they're the most complete team.
It really does in every way. And I know we can never kill the Clippers. I know.
But that's what I'm saying, though, because they're playing, you know, great. And I think Boogie coming in gave them something they didn't expect. And the fact that Boogie was able to come get 11 points. Now, he got 5 fouls in like 2 minutes because he gets lazy. He gets over-aggressive because he knows he's only in there for a short period of time. So he went crazy. But I think that, you know, this series is far from over. Let's see if these others can make sure that they can take that show on the road and continue to be able to put those points on, whether it's Bridges or it's, I forget the young dude with the fro, Simmons. I'll look his name up in the office.
I can't get enough of what we see with that team up and down the floor and the connection that they have with their coach. I think it's absolutely amazing to watch. Then there is a great story yesterday that probably flew a little bit under the radar, which is amazing considering it's a golf major, and that's John Rahm, who you'll remember a little over 2 weeks ago was coming off the course after his third round in the tournament and found out that he tested positive for COVID.
No.
And then he basically went down and almost you thought somebody had told him that a family member had passed away. Well, Rahm goes out and wins the U.S. Open yesterday.
Should be two.
At Torrey Pines. Just absolutely brilliant. Here he is speaking about how Phil Mickelson's win at the PGA Championship provided some of that inspiration.
It's incredible that I'm sitting next to this trophy. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I watched my good friend Phil win it. Not this one, but win the PGA. And I took a lot of inspiration from that. You know, having closed before, and I just knew on a Sunday, the way I had been playing on the Sundays, the last few majors, I just had to be close. And I knew I could get it done. And I'm keeping that good Sunday mojo going. And man, I got it done in a fashion that apparently only can happen to me at Torrey Pines.
You know, it was kind of a neat thing when he was staying out on the range to stay loose in case Luis Oosthuizen could tie him and they'd have to, you know, potentially go to a playoff hole or two, that he was out there and his wife was sitting out there with their newborn child and Phil Mickelson. Phil had brought a chair out for his wife to sit down, and Phil and his wife were chatting while he was staying loose and talking about how great his last round was. And the baby can't be more than a couple weeks old.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Those are the moments you live for, and one day that baby's going to grow up and going to see where they were and be remembered, because they won't remember it, and you tell them about that. It's funny, I show my kids old pictures of them on the field with me running around when they're 2-3 years old. That's what it's all about, making sure that you can share those moments that you hold on forever.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That is Audio Files. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. Up next, the best pitcher in the game is on the mound today, and that's not good.
Gerrit Cole?
We'll tell you why next. Such it's Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Bart and Han.
Yo, we got the hottest DJs in the world, man, because Straighten It, everybody know that's Quavo's new song, the Migos, and he was in the locker room celebrating after the show. We got the best DJs in the world, son. We need to release some stuff.
Did you see Kendrick and Quavo going at it a couple weeks ago on First Take?
Oh, yeah.
Tremendous.
Listen.
It was amazing.
Listen, so I've seen the Migos, you know, they supposed to straighten some dude that they beat up the other day, but then I don't know if he really ready for that smoke for Kendrick. I know they tried to jump Joe Buttons, but I still don't think three of them little micro mini pimps can take down OG, Triple OG, Big Perk.
I don't think so either. They're not very big.
Yeah, little micro mini
pimps. I saw him in person once. They're just not very big. As you can imagine, I was a natural person to be right at the Migos concert, right up front.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Were you raising the roof?
I would have been if it was 1988. It is Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life. Jacob DeGrom pitching today for the Mets. Now, this is the second straight time that they will run him out there after he left a start early with no additional rest, and they are having the situation with his shoulder this time as opposed to his flexor tendon last time. Bart, nobody will be able to convince me that just missing a start or some time off would be a bad thing for Jacob DeGrom at this point. I do not understand why they continue to push this. And it's not a situation of protecting the player from himself, because he does tell them when something isn't right. But all of this for me is just adding up to throwing the ball 102 miles an hour over 100 times this season. Something's not right with your arm, and I think your body's been trying to tell you something when you have three different injuries that have popped up this year.
And that's the thing, right? You know, and Rojas said, hey, we're going to try and figure out what's the problem, what's the issue, what's going on with him, because it's been three different things. Your body is speaking to you, and why would you risk arguably the greatest pitcher of this era for sure, or maybe of all time, when you have a window when you can take advantage of his greatness? If he has to have Tommy John or he tears something, that's 18 months of not having him for two seasons, and who knows what he's going to be when he comes back, because he'll be a much older player. You have to protect him at all costs, and sometimes from himself, understanding that you have a bit of a cushion.
What bothers me about this is it's so easily done. Have him miss a start here. When you start to get closer to the All-Star break, manipulate the schedule so that, let's say, he pitches the Thursday.
Like Tanaka.
Well, yeah, the Thursday before the All-Star break, and then he gets an entire week off and then doesn't pitch again until the Tuesday after, where it's 10, 12 days off.
Right, and I'm not really allowing him to do much during the All-Star break. That's
no, he's not pitching in that game.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I want him to go get rehab, send him off to specialists, you know, put, you know, do what you have to do, get some aggressive rehab, some healing in there, some other things that you can do so that you can have your horse ready for the run.
Mets have a doubleheader this afternoon. He's pitching that first game at 5:10 p.m. Eastern time. Let's get back to the phones. Being patient is our guy Glenn down in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Glenn, you're on Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Fellas, it's so I've been beating this drum since the man came to league when it comes to Simmons. A glorified role player that people have been hoping, wishing, and praying in the greatness. I mean, he is what he is. Windhorse comes on and says, move him to a different position with no offensive skill set. Him at point guard, they've been hiding him there with the ball so he can go down in transition at full speed and dunk the ball. I mean, that's his only attribute on offense. You're going to move, put him
on a wing? If he cannot get to the rim, he doesn't have an offensive game. And as far as the free throws, here's a comparable guy. And it bothers me that Simmons hasn't made this a priority. Lonzo. I don't know if I said this last week.
Yeah.
Lonzo, his first 2 years in the league, shot in the 40s from the line. Then he went to 58. This year he shot 78%.
Well, Karl Malone. I've said that 1,000 times, right? Karl Malone was horrible early in his career, and he turned it around. And we're talking about, hey, he's got a lot to work on. Well, what the hell he been working on?
Matt in Pennsylvania next. Matt, what's up? You're on Bart and Hahn, bud.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I just had a quick question. What do you think about Embiid actually pulling a Harden and saying, you know what, if they don't trade Simmons quick enough, I'm out of here? I mean, if he didn't work for Harden, if I was Embiid, I wouldn't be patient.
Look, Embiid is going to get his Supermax extension. Yeah. And then I think after this coming year, if they don't do something with Simmons, which we all expect him to, he'll reevaluate it. He will do as is custom now, get the money, and then force your way out.
But then he becomes harder to trade. That's the whole thing, though, because you know that you're on a ticking clock when you think about him getting older and his injury history. If he wants to get a play, he needs to make a power play to get Ben Simmons out of there.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a problem. I think they're going to be looking long and hard at it this offseason and trying to make it happen in every way possible because Ben Simmons killed the process yesterday. It's now dead, and the city of Philadelphia won't deal with
bring
it
back
much
folks.
Longer. You missed any of the show, it's all up on podcast form wherever you get your podcasts. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.